Senatsverwaltung für Bildung, Jugend und Familie im Land Berlin. Prüfung zum Erwerb der erweiterten Berufsbildungsreife und des mittleren Schulabschlusses im Fach Englisch 2017. Welcome to your listening test. This test has got 4 parts. Please take your worksheets now. Listening Part 1. Short messages. You are going to hear 2 short messages. You will hear the recording twice. There are 4 questions in this part, 2 questions for each message. Look at the pictures and then listen to the recording. Choose the correct picture and put a tick in the right box. You now have time to read the questions and look at the pictures. You will hear the recording now. Please listen carefully and do the tasks. Message 1.
Hi, Aunt Shirley. It's me, Clayton. I guess you must have gone out for a walk. Well, I just wanted to thank you for coming to my graduation. It was so nice to see you cheering me along, and thank you for the generous gift. I wasn't really expecting this, but obviously Mom told you that my old camera got broken a few weeks ago. You know that I'm going on a bike tour in the mountains with a few friends this year, so now I'll be able to take loads of pictures of the beautiful landscape. I can hardly wait until we get going in September. But first I have to earn some money, so I've signed up for a summer job at the new pizza parlor. Okay, gotta go now. Love you. Hope to see you before Christmas. Bye.
Message 2.
Hello, this is Leah from the Putney Arts Theatre. I'm calling about the inquiry you sent us via our website this morning. I'm afraid there are only a few seats available for the show tomorrow evening. The first 4 rows are completely sold out. There are 2 seats left in row E, but one of you would have to sit in row F, so this would mean you can't all sit together. Tickets are £15 each. Please let me know as soon as possible if I should book these for you, because, as you know, the tickets are selling quickly. Doors open at 7 p.m. and the show starts at 8. Please note that you have to collect the tickets 30 minutes before the show begins. The total running time is 2 hours with a 30-minute break around 9 p.m. Thank you again for your interest in our show, and goodbye.
You now have time to check your answers before you hear the recording again. Listen to the recording for a second time. Message 1.
Hi, Aunt Shirley. It's me, Clayton. I guess you must have gone out for a walk. Well, I just wanted to thank you for coming to my graduation. It was so nice to see you cheering me along, and thank you for the generous gift. I wasn't really expecting this, but obviously Mom told you that my old camera got broken a few weeks ago. You know that I'm going on a bike tour in the mountains with a few friends this year, so now I'll be able to take loads of pictures of the beautiful landscape. I can hardly wait until we get going in September. But first I have to earn some money, so I've signed up for a summer job at the new pizza parlor. Okay, gotta go now. Love you. Hope to see you before Christmas. Bye.
Message 2.
Hello, this is Leah from the Putney Arts Theatre. I'm calling about the inquiry you sent us via our website this morning. I'm afraid there are only a few seats available for the show tomorrow evening. The first 4 rows are completely sold out. There are 2 seats left in row E, but one of you would have to sit in row F, so this would mean you can't all sit together. Tickets are £15 each. Please let me know as soon as possible if I should book these for you, because, as you know, the tickets are selling quickly. Doors open at 7 p.m. and the show starts at 8. Please note that you have to collect the tickets half an hour before the show begins. The total running time is 2 hours with a 30-minute break around 9 p.m. Thank you again for your interest in our show, and goodbye.
This is the end of Listening Part 1. Listening Part 2. Radio ads. Please note, you do not need to understand every word to do this task. You are going to hear 4 radio ads. You will hear the recording twice. Read the slogans below first, then listen to the recording. For each ad, choose the correct slogan from the list, A to F, and put a tick in the right box. There is only one correct slogan for each ad. 2 slogans can't be matched. You now have time to read the slogans. You will hear the recording now. Please listen carefully and do the tasks.
This may sound like a typical high school basketball game being played on a Friday night in Utah. In fact, it's a crash course in cooperation and teamwork. It's a test of dedication, determination, and drive. It's character development in action. If you think high school sports are only about competition, think about this. High school sports can play a critical role in a student's overall education. In fact, studies show that students who participate in school sports are more likely to enjoy greater levels of achievement in their academic lives. At the same time, playing sports helps teach lessons not covered in the classroom. Lessons like tolerance, respect for the rules, and the importance of supporting your community. High school sports, a winning part of a complete education. This message presented by the Utah High School Activities Association and the Utah Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Hi, I'm Paige Davis. One of the most devastating consequences of homelessness is the impact it has on a child's education. Thousands of children in New York City are homeless and return to school without the supplies they need. So starting on day one, they look and feel different from their classmates. At Volunteers of America, we are determined to give every child who needs one a brand new filled backpack, and you can join us through Operation Backpack. Go to OperationBackpackNYC.org to help Volunteers of America help these kids.
Would it be crazy if you packed your bags and left for a week, a month, a year? What if you left for 2 years? What if you were going far away to help in a village on the edge of the Gobi Desert? To spend time with people the rest of the world only reads about? To teach children and learn a thing or two about yourself? Would that be crazy? Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
Don't be stupid with your skin. It's the only skin you're in. Know what's good and bad to do. Find the right and wrong for you. It's time you learn what it's about. 'Cause indoor tanning is out. UV lamps from a tanning bed. They can turn your skin beet red. Wrinkles come from the UV light, and age spots make you go frightful sight. With UV light, it gets worse. Skin cancer is a wicked curse. Don't be the one that's tan and dead. Use your brain, use your head. It's time you learn what it's about. 'Cause indoor tanning is out. A message from the American Academy of Dermatology.
You now have time to check your answers before you hear the recording again. Listen to the recording for a second time.
This may sound like a typical high school basketball game being played on a Friday night in Utah. In fact, it's a crash course in cooperation and teamwork. It's a test of dedication, determination, and drive. It's character development in action. If you think high school sports are only about competition, think about this. High school sports can play a critical role in a student's overall education. In fact, studies show that students who participate in school sports are more likely to enjoy greater levels of achievement in their academic lives. At the same time, playing sports helps teach lessons not covered in the classroom. Lessons like tolerance, respect for the rules, and the importance of supporting your community. High school sports, a winning part of a complete education. This message presented by the Utah High School Activities Association and the Utah Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Hi, I'm Paige Davis. One of the most devastating consequences of homelessness is the impact it has on a child's education. Thousands of children in New York City are homeless and return to school without the supplies they need. So starting on day one, they look and feel different from their classmates. At Volunteers of America, we are determined to give every child who needs one a brand new filled backpack, and you can join us through Operation Backpack. Go to OperationBackpackNYC.org to help Volunteers of America help these kids.
Would it be crazy if you packed your bags and left for a week, a month, a year? What if you left for 2 years? What if you were going far away to help in a village on the edge of the Gobi Desert? To spend time with people the rest of the world only reads about? To teach children and learn a thing or two about yourself? Would that be crazy? Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
Don't be stupid with your skin. It's the only skin you're in. Know what's good and bad to do. Find the right and wrong for you. It's time you learn what it's about. 'Cause indoor tanning is out. UV lamps from a tanning bed, they can turn your skin beet red. Wrinkles come from the UV light, and age spots make you go frightful sight. With UV light, it gets worse. Skin cancer is a wicked curse. Don't be the one that's tan and dead. Use your brain, use your head. It's time you learn what it's about. 'Cause indoor tanning is out. A message from the American Academy of Dermatology.
This is the end of listening part 2. Listening part 3. Living in another country. You are going to hear three people talking about their experiences in another country. You will hear the recording twice. Complete the table below. Use 1 to 5 words or numbers for each answer. You now have time to look at the table. You will hear the recording now. Please listen carefully and do the tasks.
Hi, my name is John, and I live with my father in New York City. In 2015, when I was 16, my father decided to go and live in Thailand for 1 year. You see, Dad is a vet and an animal lover, and he volunteered to take care of street dogs and cats on the island of Koh Lanta in the southwest of Thailand. So we packed our things and off we went. What I really liked about Thailand? The street kitchens. The food served there tastes great, is always really fresh, and available on every street corner. What surprised me was how clean these kitchens were. What most people don't know is that a street kitchen is passed down through generations, so the woman who is making fried rice has been doing so for many years, just like her mother and her grandmother before her. For us Americans, it is sometimes difficult to understand Thai culture, especially when it comes to religion. Did you know? Thai people believe that the head is the home of the soul and the spirit, and this is why you should never touch a person's head in Thailand. If you go there, remember to smile. A smiling face is a sign of respect towards the people around you.
Hi, my name is Oliver, and I come from a small town in Cheshire, England. In 2009, my family left England for Dubai. My mum is an interior architect and was asked to design the rooms of a new 5-star hotel. My father also liked the idea, even though it meant he had to give up his well-paid job in England. I was 15 at the time and felt both anxious and excited about living in Dubai. Anyway, our visas were processed and off we went. I needed some time to adjust, but then I loved it there. What stands out in my mind about Dubai? Every Friday afternoon, I went to the beach to watch men wrestling in the sand. These men were foreign workers who gathered on the beach near the fish market to socialize with their friends and enjoy a bit of fighting in the sand. What a great atmosphere! Crowds of people cheering, and for a few hours, these wrestlers became local celebrities. How I loved watching them! But you have to be careful. There are many rules about how to behave and dress in public, which are very different from Europe. For instance, you should never ever kiss in public. So if you plan to go there, make sure you know about the do's and don'ts.
Hi, I'm Hillary. I was born in Florida, and when I was 10 years old, my parents decided to take time off and go and live in the 49th state, Alaska, for 8 months. They always wanted to live a simple life in the wilderness, so we rented a cabin on Latouche Island in the southern part of Alaska and spent lots of time fishing and hunting. But don't think I could skip school during my time there. It was homeschooling for me. Not as much fun as being in class with my friends. At times, I really missed them. Apart from that, the experience was amazing. You really feel the power of Mother Nature with all your senses. I just loved watching and listening to these huge walls of ice breaking away from their icebergs and crashing into the sea below. As you know, Alaska is bear country, and living in bear country means being responsible. Bears are shy animals and actually try to avoid people, but when they are attracted to human food or garbage, you can be sure trouble is on the way. So if you want to survive and ensure your safety, don't feed bears and keep your garbage away from them. But don't worry, if you stick to some basic rules, you will have the time of your life.
You now have time to check your answers before you hear the recording again. Listen to the recording for a second time.
Hi, my name is John, and I live with my father in New York City. In 2015, when I was 16, my father decided to go and live in Thailand for 1 year. You see, Dad is a vet and an animal lover, and he volunteered to take care of street dogs and cats on the island of Koh Lanta in the southwest of Thailand. So we packed our things and off we went. What I really liked about Thailand? The street kitchens. The food served there tastes great, is always really fresh, and available on every street corner. What surprised me was how clean these kitchens were. What most people don't know is that a street kitchen is passed down through generations, so the woman who is making fried rice has been doing so for many years, just like her mother and her grandmother before her. For us Americans, it is sometimes difficult to understand Thai culture, especially when it comes to religion. Did you know? Thai people believe that the head is the home of the soul and the spirit, and this is why you should never touch a person's head in Thailand. If you go there, remember to smile. A smiling face is a sign of respect towards the people around you.
Hi, my name is Oliver, and I come from a small town in Cheshire, England. In 2009, my family left England for Dubai. My mum is an interior architect and was asked to design the rooms of a new 5-star hotel. My father also liked the idea, even though it meant he had to give up his well-paid job in England. I was 15 at the time and felt both anxious and excited about living in Dubai. Anyway, our visas were processed and off we went. I needed some time to adjust, but then I loved it there. What stands out in my mind about Dubai? Every Friday afternoon, I went to the beach to watch men wrestling in the sand. These men were foreign workers who gathered on the beach near the fish market to socialize with their friends and enjoy a bit of fighting in the sand. What a great atmosphere! Crowds of people cheering, and for a few hours, these wrestlers became local celebrities. How I loved watching them! But you have to be careful. There are many rules about how to behave and dress in public, which are very different from Europe. For instance, you should never ever kiss in public. So if you plan to go there, make sure you know about the do's and don'ts.
Hi, I'm Hillary. I was born in Florida, and when I was 10 years old, my parents decided to take time off and go and live in the 49th state, Alaska, for 8 months. They always wanted to live a simple life in the wilderness, so we rented a cabin on Latouche Island in the southern part of Alaska and spent lots of time fishing and hunting. But don't think I could skip school during my time there. It was homeschooling for me. Not as much fun as being in class with my friends. At times, I really missed them. Apart from that, the experience was amazing. You really feel the power of Mother Nature with all your senses. I just loved watching and listening to these huge walls of ice breaking away from their icebergs and crashing into the sea below. As you know, Alaska is bear country, and living in bear country means being responsible. Bears are shy animals and actually try to avoid people. But when they are attracted to human food or garbage, you can be sure trouble is on the way. So if you want to survive and ensure your safety, don't feed bears and keep your garbage away from them. But don't worry, if you stick to some basic rules, you will have the time of your life.
This is the end of Listening Part 3. Listening Part 4. The role of information technology in education. You are going to hear a radio show. There are four people in the show. Jenny Robinson, the host, Stephen Appleton, Henry Kelleher, and Chelsea Coleman. You will hear the recording twice. Read the statements below first, then listen to the recording. Put a tick in the box next to the correct statement. Only one statement is correct in each case. You now have time to read the statements. You will hear the recording now. Please listen carefully and do the tasks.
Good afternoon. I am Jenny Robinson, and welcome to Tech Talk. This week, we will be looking at the role of computers in education. Before we get started, let me introduce my guests. Here is Stephen Appleton, a young man from Silicon Valley, the home of computer technology. He is 16 years old and attends a cyber school, also known as e-schools or virtual schools.
Hi, guys.
Also here with us is Henry Kelleher, a high school teacher in Sunnyvale in the Silicon area.
Nice to be here.
And last but not least, we have Chelsea Coleman, who has a degree in computer science and is the mother of a 6-year-old daughter.
Great to be here.
Stephen, no school buses or school bells for you. You attend a cyber school. You actually learn online. I'm sure our listeners would like to know why you and your parents decided on this kind of schooling.
You see, I'm really into music, and I have to practice a lot. I spend every possible minute playing my guitar. Going to a regular state school with a fixed timetable would mean not having the freedom to play whenever I want to. One evening while I was watching TV, I saw this commercial on cyber schools, and I just knew that this kind of school would be perfect for me. As you can imagine, my parents didn't like the idea at the beginning, but in the end they agreed. The whole idea of learning anytime, anyplace really works for me.
So, basically, you can lie on your sofa and log onto your computer on a daily basis and do your school assignments. And I suppose you have an online teacher who monitors your work? Is that the way it works?
Yeah, that's right.
And nowadays, students can even get their high school diploma while taking classes online. They can work at their own pace in the safety and comfort of their own home. It's really a new form of homeschooling.
Chelsea, you seem eager to say something.
Yes, that may be, but as far as I know, cyber school students have lower test scores and higher dropout rates. They just don't seem to have the self-discipline to complete the course. I certainly wouldn't choose a cyber school for my children.
Well, for that matter, neither would I. Even though the number of cyber schools is growing fast, I personally don't think online classes can compete with a real classroom. So what I would like to know from you, Stephen, don't you miss your classmates?
Well, I still hang out with friends from elementary school and junior high, but I have also made some new online friends at my cyber school.
Well, the traditional classroom is a great place to develop social skills, to work with others, to make and keep friends. That's something you can't really develop online. But these soft skills are very important when students leave school and start looking for a job.
I totally agree with you, Henry. Young people need social skills, as you have just said, but they also need other skills like scheduling or meeting deadlines, for example, handing in their assignments on time.
Hey, I have to meet deadlines all the time.
Chelsea, you work for a big IT company, yet you chose to send your children to a school that does not use any computer technology in the classroom. How come?
That may seem contradictory to you, but I personally think that young children don't need technology to learn. On the contrary, it kills their natural drive to find things out for themselves. Rather than looking things up online, they should be thinking for themselves and in this way learn how to solve problems.
So, what do you suggest?
Oh, you should see my 6-year-old daughter's classroom. It's really old-fashioned. There's a blackboard with chalk, there are books on the shelves, and the kids write using pens and pencils. There is not a computer in sight. All of that will come soon enough. At the moment, she is actually knitting a pair of socks, an activity that develops things like coordination, math skills, and problem solving.
And she ends up with a nice pair of woolly socks. But don't children need computer skills to compete in the modern world?
Younger children need to play with each other, not on computers. When playing with each other, kids also learn how to see the world from someone else's point of view. Without that skill, one can't have good friends or good colleagues.
That is definitely important, but no computers at all? Henry, you work at a high school. Your students are between 14 and 18 years of age. How much technology do you use in your classroom?
Well, our school tries to combine face-to-face learning with some online instruction.
Tell us more.
Well, students get the actual input at home. This means a student watches a video clip with information on a certain topic. This way I can use the class time to work with my students on a one-to-one basis. I can help students who are struggling with problems or give the better students more challenging tasks.
So it's a kind of reversal of traditional teaching methods. Students get the input at home and do the exercises in the classroom.
Yes, it's actually called flipping the classroom. And I must say that this new methodology is spreading quickly. Maybe it's because it individualizes learning.
Well, a limited use of computers in high school seems reasonable enough.
This seems to be a good moment to take a break. And after the break, listeners will have a chance to call in and give their input.
You now have time to check your answers before you hear the recording again. Listen to the recording for a second time.
Good afternoon. I am Jenny Robinson, and welcome to Tech Talk. This week, we will be looking at the role of computers in education. Before we get started, let me introduce my guests. Here is Stephen Appleton, a young man from Silicon Valley, the home of computer technology. He is 16 years old and attends a cyber school, also known as e-schools or virtual schools.
Hi, guys.
Also here with us is Henry Kelleher, a high school teacher in Sunnyvale in the Silicon area.
Nice to be here.
And last but not least, we have Chelsea Coleman, who has a degree in computer science and is the mother of a 6-year-old daughter.
Great to be here.
Stephen, no school buses or school bells for you. You attend a cyber school. You actually learn online. I'm sure our listeners would like to know why you and your parents decided on this kind of schooling.
You see, I'm really into music, and I have to practice a lot. I spend every possible minute playing my guitar. Going to a regular state school with a fixed timetable would mean not having the freedom to play whenever I want to. One evening while I was watching TV, I saw this commercial on cyber schools, and I just knew that this kind of school would be perfect for me. As you can imagine, my parents didn't like the idea at the beginning, but in the end they agreed. The whole idea of learning anytime, any place really works for me.
So, basically, you can lie on your sofa and log on to your computer on a daily basis and do your school assignments. And I suppose you have an online teacher who monitors your work? Is that the way it works?
Yeah, that's right.
And nowadays, students can even get their high school diploma while taking classes online. They can work at their own pace in the safety and comfort of their own home. It's really a new form of homeschooling.
Chelsea, you seem eager to say something.
Yes, that may be, but as far as I know, cyber school students have lower test scores and higher dropout rates. They just don't seem to have the self-discipline to complete the course. I certainly wouldn't choose a cyber school for my children.
Well, for that matter, neither would I. Even though the number of cyber schools is growing fast, I personally don't think online classes can compete with a real classroom. So what I would like to know from you, Stephen, don't you miss your classmates?
Well, I still hang out with friends from elementary school and junior high, but I have also made some new online friends at my cyber school.
Well, the traditional classroom is a great place to develop social skills, to work with others, to make and keep friends. That's something you can't really develop online. But these soft skills are very important when students leave school and start looking for a job.
I totally agree with you, Henry. Young people need social skills, as you have just said, but they also need other skills like scheduling or meeting deadlines, for example, handing in their assignments on time.
Hey, I have to meet deadlines all the time.
Chelsea, you work for a big IT company, yet you chose to send your children to a school that does not use any computer technology in the classroom. How come?
That may seem contradictory to you, but I personally think that young children don't need technology to learn. On the contrary, it kills their natural drive to find things out for themselves. Rather than looking things up online, they should be thinking for themselves and in this way learn how to solve problems.
So, what do you suggest?
Oh, you should see my 6-year-old daughter's classroom. It's really old-fashioned. There's a blackboard with chalk, there are books on the shelves, and the kids write using pens and pencils. There is not a computer in sight. All of that will come soon enough. At the moment, she is actually knitting a pair of socks, an activity that develops things like coordination, math skills, and problem solving.
And she ends up with a nice pair of woolly socks. But don't children need computer skills to compete in the modern world?
Younger children need to play with each other, not on computers. When playing with each other, kids also learn how to see the world from someone else's point of view. Without that skill, one can't have good friends or good colleagues.
That is definitely important, but no computers at all? Henry, you work at a high school. Your students are between 14 and 18 years of age. How much technology do you use in your classroom?
Well, our school tries to combine face-to-face learning with some online instruction.
Tell us more.
Well, students get the actual input at home. This means a student watches a video clip with information on a certain topic. This way I can use the class time to work with my students on a one-to-one basis. I can help students who are struggling with problems or give the better students more challenging tasks.
So it's a kind of reversal of traditional teaching methods. Students get the input at home and do the exercises in the classroom.
Yes, it's actually called flipping the classroom. And I must say that this new methodology is spreading quickly. Maybe it's because it individualizes learning.
Well, a limited use of computers in high school seems reasonable enough.
This seems to be a good moment to take a break. And after the break, listeners will have a chance to call in and give their input.
This is the end of Listening Part 4. Now you have time to copy all your answers onto the final answer sheet. Be careful, please. Don't make any mistakes when you copy your answers. Now hand in all the papers to the teacher, please. This is the end of your listening test.